places where folk life can be found. You know, and he knows that one of those places is, where do you think one of those places might be? Delray, that's right, right here in Delray Beach. From Mr. Pompey, I've learned a lot, too, about Delray. I learned that Delray means a lot of things. How many of you knew that Delray means of the king? And who knows who the king of Afro-American History Month is? Who knows who the king is? Yeah. Right, that's right, Jamal. And Dava, did you know that in 1915 you could take a round-trip train ride from Chicago to Delray? And how many of you knew that Afro-Americans pretty much built the entire railroad that travels all the way down to Key West right here? And a lot of them live in Delray. But he knows more, Mr. Pompey knows a lot more than I do. So I'm going to turn the visit over to him. And I'm going to just ask you, could you tell us a little bit about yourself and answer our questions about Delray Beach?
I'll do the best I can. My name is Charles Spencer Pompey. I was born in the northwest section of Florida in a town that's called Baker County. You ever heard of Baker County? Well, it's the county just next to Duval County in West Florida. I grew up in Suwannee County. How many of you have heard of the Suwannee River? Good. My parents, my mother's father, came to Suwannee County in 1869 and purchased land on the Suwannee River, so that the river that has been made famous in song, I'm quite familiar with it. I grew up in Suwannee County, attended school there, and went to college, and finally came down to this garden spot, which is now known as South Florida. I came down in 1939 and came to Delray Beach in 1944. So that I've been here about 42 or 3 years in Delray Beach. I don't know, unless you had some question you want to ask about myself. I saw one or two questions that someone asked. What kind of games did we play? I suppose that we were a little different, or no different, from the way game than you are. We played, we didn't have football, not in those days. We didn't have soccer. As a matter of fact, we didn't have soccer down here until 5 or 6 years ago. But anyway, we played hide-and-seek. Have you ever heard of that game? Well, then we did just about the same thing. We didn't have too many paved roads. There were not many paved roads when I came to Delray. As a matter of fact, where this school now is was a farm. This was a farm in the area where this school now is a farm. This part of Delray Beach, and incidentally, years ago, this sector of Florida was a part of Dade County. Palm Beach County is not very old. It really became in existence in 1909. But it has been as a county. However, the school that you are now in is one of the oldest schools in the state of Florida. As a matter of fact, in 1894, a year before the city of Delray Beach was incorporated, the school was founded. The superintendent of Dade County School was named C.H. Long, And the blacks who had settled here petitioned the school board in 1894 and asked if they would settle or would establish a school. The first school, would you imagine what the buildings were made out of?
What do you think they were made out of?
Just guess. Not really. Not really. They used thatched palmetto. I mean, the first school, thatched palmetto. You see, the school board at that time did not build schools as such. The citizens had to petition the school board for a place to stay, and usually the first school was established, these black schools were established in churches and so forth. But this school was established in 1894. The first teachers who came here was named B.F. James. And so that you are attending one of the oldest, and I should say today, don't you think so? The best school in Palm Beach County. Is that correct? Well, anyway, why did this community grow as it has, and why it is today what it is? Let me take you back, if you will, to the 1870s. We had just gone through a very serious war. It is called, depending upon where you're from. How many of you are from the South, from the Southern state? How many of you are from a Northern state? Okay. Now, I'm from a Southern state, and therefore we call it the war between the states. Now, those of you who are not from the South, they call it the Civil War, but whatever it was. They were fighting over the question of whether or not men should be free or slaves. The President of the United States at the time was a fellow by the name of Abraham Lincoln. And this, he was born in this month. As a matter of fact, his birthday will be two or three days from now. This month, February, is called National Brotherhood Month. The reason being is that the President of the United States at the time, who issued the Emancipation Proclamation that freed the slaves, was born in February. And then a very important black American by the name of Frederick Douglass, who was very forward in attempting to get blacks not only their freedom but their right to become first class citizens, was born also in that month. So that between the birth dates of Abraham Lincoln, his birth date was the 12th of February, and then the birth date of Frederick Douglass, we've had what is known as brotherhood. So therefore, it is with a deep sense of history and pride that I am here before you to just help to instill or bring to your attention the fact that you are part of what we call living in folk history. Now, let me ask you one question. Why do you think it is important that we have a program such as you're having here today?
Of Delray Beach.
Of Delray Beach. Mm-hmm. Yes?
No more things about that?
Yes. Those are things about Delray Beach. Yes? Go ahead.
Go ahead, Heather. Sorry.
You can ask me anything. I don't, whether I know it doesn't matter.
James,
where were you born?
Well, I was born in Baker County, Florida. Baker County, where is Baker County?
When?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was born July 31st, 1915. I'm 71 years young. Yes. I've lived in Delray Beach for 44 years. Come this August, it will be 44 years. Yes. When I came, Delray was a small place. Yet, Delray was the largest of the three large cities in South Palm Beach County. Do you know who? You know what city was the smallest city when I came down here? It was Boca Raton. How many of you from Boca Raton? The smallest of the three cities was Boca Raton. They really didn't have three lights, stop lights in Boca Raton at the time. The largest of the cities was Delray Beach. The people from Boca Raton, when I first came here, had to come to Delray Beach to pay their water bill, their light bill, and all of that. So that this was considered to be the metropolis or the big town. Same thing in Boynton. But today I would dare say that the leading city must be Boca Raton, is it? Maybe those of us who live in Delaware might dispute with you on that. But the type of work that people engaged in this sector was farming, pineapple farming, vegetable gardening, or vegetable farming as the case may be. But as a matter of fact, out here where you were playing were farms. And when I say farms, I perhaps need to clarify that a bit, because farming was a little bit different than what we had where I grew up. Now, up in Sewanee County, when we talk in terms of farm, we thought of at least 80 acres of land. But when I came down here, fellas, I'm going out to my farm. And you'd go out there, and it was hardly as big as a football field. He called that his farm. But the land down here was very, very fertile. You could grow a crop in 120 days. As a matter of fact, it was possible to grow as many as three crops during the season. The season in South Florida, down in this section, where we had what we call the winter and or the spring. Also, Delray Beach, being the main city at the time, had a population of about 4,000 or 5,000 people. Of that, 40% of those were black. Boca Raton had a population of, 1,800 people, with a small settlement in Boca Raton, which is called Pearl City. Have you ever heard of Pearl City?
Yeah.
Pearl City. Now, just south of Pearl City was a little section that's called, I don't know how you pronounce it now. Today, I believe the pronunciation is Yamato, but they call it Yamato. And in that particular sector was a group of people, Japanese sell that area. There was a little town called Villarica. Have you ever heard of Villarica? Well, Villarica. I tell you what you do. Sometime ask your parents if they will take you down the the railroad just north of the line that separates the canal that separates Boca Raton from Delray Beach. You'll see a little sign, a little not where a depot was, but a little train site there. It would say Villa Rica. Well, that was a community where farmers lived. Now, we were engaged in what is known as the Second World War. Well, when the Second World War came, they decided to make that particular area an air base. It was then called the Boca Raton Airfield. And most of the farmers living in that area, both white, well, not both, but the white, the Japanese, and blacks were required to leave there. In a case of an emergency, a governmental body may, in the interest of the people, take land. I don't mean they just grab it and take it, but they use a very big word. They call it eminent domain. But what they do, if they feel it was in the interest of the nation or of the particular town, they may tell you, so you'll have to move. They'll pay you for that land. So they did this and built the air base. And these people were required to move. The blacks moved, many of the blacks moved into what is known as Newtown. Let me see if I, how many of you live in Delray? Oh, well, gee, well, that's in Delray. Well, now, that's good enough. Then the sector of Delray Beach that is south of Atlantic Avenue was called Newtown. Now, there's a section of Delray Beach, it's called Frog Alley. How many of you know where Frog Alley is? Well, maybe, okay, good. Well, now, this particular section of Delray Beach, and may I just touch on how these particular sectors or areas got their name? Yeah. Maybe I might want to touch on that. Let me say this, that the blacks who came into Delray in the 1880s essentially came from four particular areas of the United States and of the Bahamas Islands. The principal area was what we call West Florida, where I'm from. We kids say that's up in God's country. But anyhow, they came from West Florida. They settled in what is now known in Delray Beach as the center, or what is called Monroe Quarters. Many of them, how many of you have heard of Monroe Quarter? Well, I'll tell you where Monroe Quarters is. Monroe Quarters is where the that particular area of Delray Beach, where the Mount Olive Baptist Church, which is the first church, it was founded in 1896, the first church established in Delray Beach. The second church is St. Paul Amy Church, that's my church, on Fifth Avenue now, was 1897. The first white church established in Delray Beach was 1914, some 20 years later. But anyway, the blacks who settled in what is known as Green Corner, just as that stoplight is, if you turn left, where Fifth Avenue, that is called Green Corner or Monroe Quarter. It gets its name from the family that came down here a lady by the name of Jane Monroe came from a section of Florida, West Florida, up in Quincy or Gadsden County. She was she's the pioneer in settling here. Now the blacks who came from Alabama, and a goodly number of those came to Alabama, settled in this section just east of where the school is now. This is the school right here, is 8th Avenue, West 6th, and 6th Avenue, 7th Avenue, and that particular, or what is then, what was at that time called the Sands. There were some blacks who came from South Carolina. And those from South Carolina settled in that area of Delray Beach, where you know where the Lutheran school is? The Lutheran school, and just west of, I mean south of that area. And then there were blacks who came from the Bahamas Islands, or from Bimini. These people settled in what is now known as Frog's Alley. Now, it's called Frog's Alley because the land was marshy, low, and the frogs, when it rained quite a bit, you had water, not, it wasn't a pond as such, but the marshes, there was a marshland out there, and they used to call it Frog's Alley. As a matter of fact, I recall, in teaching right here at this site, that just as the bus leaves here and gets to 2nd Avenue there, Second Martin Luther King Drive, you could roll in 1949 right there where the Baldwins now live, and the Bain live there. You could roll boats out there. Water was very, very low. Indeed, one of the ways of draining this particular area and making it livable was through canals. That's why you notice that every, I guess, 3 or 4 miles, all the way down to Key West, every 3 or 4 miles, you will find a canal. And the purpose of those canals, of course, is to was not only to drain the land and make it livable. So that this particular town, historically, and by the way, it settled its 75th anniversary just October of last year. But this particular area in town was settled those times. Now, Boynton was just about as old. The Boca Raton is considerably younger than these other two areas. So that if you, on across where the beach is, on across the, what we call the, where the wealthier people live, and I'm going to touch on that just a little bit. There were farms over there. As a matter of fact, where the Barnett Bank is, where the Barnett National Bank is, a lady by the name of Mrs. Frances J. Bright had a farm where the Barnett Bank is. Indeed, when I came out here in the in 1944, we were just making changes. Farming was getting to the place that it was not being profitable. I don't want to talk so much because you may want to raise some more questions. But let me just touch on one other thing. the World War II had a tremendous effect on this area. When they built that base down in Boca Raton, the war ended, of course, as you know, in 1945. What are you going to do with that land and everything? And soon they built a school by the name of Florida Atlantic University. And we began to try to attract to this area a tourist. They had what is known as the season. The season usually began after Thanksgiving and ended sometime in early March, where the people went back north. But it was hardly, you could hardly make a living there. I recall many a time when the stores on Atlantic Avenue just closed up and went back north, just like the tourists went north. It was, but now we began to attract people who wanted to come down here, make this a place to live, and that is perhaps how your parents decided to come down here. But let me tie in, along with the early development, David Swinton and William Linton. But along with those people, you had George Green. These are blacks who were helped to found this particular area, and who actually preceded as a matter of fact, when David Swinton and William Linton came, black families were already here.
I'm wondering if they know who the Swintons and Lintons are.
Okay, I'm good.
How many of you know who the Swintons and the Lintons? Do you know who they were?
No.
Okay, maybe.
Good, good. David, William Linton was a congressman from Michigan who had come down here in 1895 and brought along with him five families that came and founded this particular sector of town. Actually, when you say founded, I mean it was incorporated under his name. But as I pointed out to you before, there were people already here. And the very fact that they had established schools or had petitioned for schools, they had built churches and the like. But and along with William Linton was his friend, David Swinton. Sometimes, a lot of people call it the Michigan Connection. And they named the town Delray. I'm not so sure that I sort of use the term Delray means a city of royalty. You know how proud that we were years ago of what this town was. And so we say the city of royalty to the king, as the case may be. But it was founded, incorporated in 1911, but citizens had been here before that time.
Does anybody have any questions they'd like to ask?
Please.
How old is Pumpkin Park?
Now, you really got something I can't answer. Pompey Park, I believe, was from 1976, I guess. I should know better than that, but I just don't. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Yeah. How? Let me just take a couple of minutes to just touch on, I guess. I didn't ask the city fathers, in 19, when the World War stopped, World War II stopped. Wrote to the Office of Army Surplus in Atlanta and asked Atlanta if we could, if they would give us an army barrack. We had petitioned the city of Delray Beach for some land. And in 1950, the city of Delray Beach gave us 5 acres of land. That we would start a recreation program. Incidentally, it was the first recreation program established in the county. And so I suppose that we purchased this, the Army sold us this Army barracks for $1. We put it out there to where Pompey Park is now. And we had the citizen of the community to donate land and trees and the like. How many of you know a person, any of you know about Mike Blank's nursery? You ever heard of the nursery? Mike Blank Nursery? Jack Carver Construction Company? Well, anyway, those are people. We used to take our football players out there to help plant the trees that out there. And so finally, I suppose that, among other things, they had to name it something, and they named it the Pompey, I guess.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay.
Yes, sir.
Why did you decide to come to DRA?
Why? Yeah. Good. Well, I ever since I was a little kid, I wanted to be a school teacher. And I applied for a job. I finished college and applied for a job. I had applications in 5 states. And Florida, Georgia, North Carolina. I attended school in North Carolina. And Florida, Tennessee, Virginia. And Delray, Palm Beach County offered me the highest salary. That was $75 a month. So that's why I came here.
Anybody else?
Yes. Yeah? Pardon me?
How much was the money worth back then?
How much was money worth?
Yeah.
Good point. Well taken. Let me tell you this. The first place I ever taught was in Suwanee County. I made $50 a month as a teacher in Suwanee County in 1936. But here's what I could do. I could go to town and buy stew beef, 10 cents a pound, 3 pounds for a quarter, and tell the man to put me some fat in there. So that a dollar, you could go to the store for $2 and come out with I don't know how many. Sometime a dollar was worth considerably more. Yes?
How old was you when you came to
get me? I was 27, I guess. Yes? 27. Yes?
Did there have a lot of beaches in
Delray
when you came?
Beaches? Yeah, well, see, the beach, one of the greatest assets that Delray had is its beach. Delray had the best beach. Of all the towns that are down in this sector, Delray had the best beach. As a matter of fact, it had, I guess, about a mile and a half of the finest beach of any place around. Yes.
How much How do we travel?
I'm glad you mentioned that. The chief means of transportation in those days, of course, was the train. And very few people had cars. The walking was one of the main means. But you see, the real developer of Florida, Henry Morrison Flagler, had built a railroad from Jacksonville to St. Augustine. And then about 1875 decided to extend that railroad south. And at that time, you had maybe four counties. You had Duval County, then you had St. John's County. St. John's County extended all the way down to what is now known as, up to Martin County. Then you had Dade County. Dade County extended from Martin County down to Key West at that time. So that he decided to build this railroad, and he built it on two bases. Number one, that he wanted to make Florida the winter capital and the vegetable center of the nation. He saw in it the possibility that you would you could attract tourists. He had already built the hotel in St. Augustine, the Ponte Lynn Hotel in St. Augustine. He wanted to extend it down. And incidentally, the sector of Palm Beach, the island, they call it over there now, blacks call it the Sticks. And blacks lived over there. Blacks farmed that area over there. So he decided to build his railroad. And in building the railroad, he attracted many people coming down here, most of whom, who the railroad builders, were blacks who came down at that time.
Other questions?
Pompeii, yes.
You told us that the blacks settled in the 1800s came from four particular areas.
Yeah.
West Florida, Bahamas, South Carolina, but I didn't catch
them. Fulton, good. Well, there was the Alabama group from South Alabama, the young bloods who live here now, the Ivies, the young bloods. Let me see who teaches out here who part of that Alabama connection. that came down here, and they settled right in that area, two blocks from here. As a matter of fact, one of the fellows who worked out here, Perry Stokes, and all those people are part of that connection.
Other questions?
Yes.
What school did you go to?
I went to a school up in from the beginning. Okay. My mother was a school teacher, and I went to school in Suwanee County. At that time, blacks could only go to school 3 years in the public. They could only go to school 3 months in the public school. My mother sort of felt that education was reasonably important, so she wanted us to go to school a little longer, and we went to the little school there for 8 months. Then I went off to college, and then came down here.
Other questions?
Didn't yes.
What was the name of your school?
Well, we call it Florida Memorial College. Now, let me explain that.
Elementary school, you call?
Yeah. Let me explain that. It's a good question. After the Civil War, or the War Between the States, there was an attempt on the part of many people to build schools for
Paul Blythe. And they called them colleges when in fact they were hardly more than high schools, as it were. It was first called, it was founded in 1878 at a school that my mother attended. It was called Florida Baptist Institute. Then it became Florida Memorial College. So my mother sent us all there. We had to pay $1 a week to go to school. She didn't. We didn't have any money, but she washed the laundry so that she could send us to school there. And the school was founded by the Baptist Church. See, the black churches had one of the responsibilities to try to provide education for blacks. And the Amy Church founded a school in the state of Florida. In every southern state, you had this provision for education. Yes? Okay. I was about 27. Incidentally, I might tell you this. I came down here with the express purpose of staying 3 years. I met a lady down here who grew up in Delray Beach, and I said, gee, well, I think I'll ask her hand. And I've been here ever since. She's my wife.
I have a question.
Yes.
Do you know some of the people who first, who were some of the original settlers?
Yes.
Don't you? Could you tell us about some of those people? How
you
met them?
Well, yes, I was very fortunate. When I came here to teach, I had the good fortune of rooming to Mrs. Jane Jackson, who was really the person who had come down here from her family, and I suppose when she came down here in 1800. And 90. When she came down in 1890, she sent back up in West Florida to get five or six of her sisters. And as a matter of fact, there were 12 Monroes. And she came down, her husband had come down to work on the railroad. Maybe I need to tie in a little bit about why it was so easy and how it was to get land. Under an act passed by the Congress of the United States, you could get land rather easily. That if you cleared some land, if you cleared, for example, 5 acres of land, you could claim 40 acres. That's how Henry Flagler, that's one of the motives for coming to put those railroads, because they gave him much of the land. In order to recruit workers, he then would give them the land. Until actually, most of the people who came down here had land, actually donated to them as a part of it. The second thing is that Florida, that these people were able to acquire the land. The climate was very nice, growing season quite a bit. The biggest problem they had were snakes and mosquitoes. And we perhaps have solved the snake problem, I guess. And the mosquito problem is still with us. But many of those people are still here. I had a picture of a Mrs. Raffey Taylor who lives, or did live, right up the street here. And she's been here. But I lived with Mrs. Jane, and she was the one who told me about those early days, and I just became interested in it. And besides, from my West Florida background, on my part of my parents, we had learned enough, quite a bit about the acquisition of land. Oh yes, I married in 1948. You know, I can't get rid of my wife either.
And she was an original settler, wasn't she?
Well, she came down. Let me say this, that I asked you a question a few minutes ago. How many of you grown up here and the like? This particular section of Florida is essentially a new area. I doubt seriously if the average person has been down here 35, 30 years. Well, I worked on the, I was Diamond Jubilee, and we're trying to figure out some of the old settlers. And boy, I tell you the truth, if somebody said they'd been here 30 years, that was an old settler. My wife's people came down here in 1926, so she's only been here 50 years. I don't know whether she would admit that now to say 50, but... Yes, sir.
Are you still a teacher?
I want to believe that I will remain a teacher all the time. I just want to believe that. But formally, I retired from teaching in 1979. But the fact that I'm out here with young, energetic people like you makes me think that I'm still a teacher. Yes, sir. Pardon me?
Back when?
Well, let me say this. You know, you are, your campus here is a part of, some part of history. Let me remind, this is one thing I'm sort of ecstatic about this, I'm proud of it. The very first track meet that was held in the state of Florida by black schools was held right out here. We decided that we wanted to have a track meet, so we invited the schools from Dade County, Broward County, and Palm Beach County. And the first track meet was right out there. We practiced football out there portables are, where those portables are. We practiced football there. And that was our athletic field. In those days, this was a Palmetto sector. I told you once they farmed out here. And when the city gave us those 5 acres of land, we had to help clear off there. And now I guess all told, it must be 13 or 14 acres out there that's called Pompey Farm. Anyone? I don't recall, but I believe 2 or 3 years ago, we sold,
1977.
Okay. Well, 1977, we had a little bit of snow. I haven't seen really much snow. The first time that I saw snow, I went to school in North Carolina, and we went up to play a school in Virginia, West Virginia. And the first time I had seen snow. So we Floridians we leave that snow for the Yankees, those people.
Oh. I got a question over there, James.
Yes.
What's the name of your mom?
Pardon me?
What's the name of your mom?
My mother?
Yeah.
My mother's name was Mary Louise. Incidentally, she just died last year. She was 104.
Wow.
Yeah, she was 104 when she died. She died on the 22nd of December last year. So that's why, you see, I remain so young, you know. I figure that the time clock must be going for me, and at least I'm thinking about another 40 years. See, when one of you are sufficiently educated and prepared to be our governor or our president, I perhaps want to be one of your subjects.
You got more questions?
Yes. Yes.
Well, you may be pleased.
No, I'm one of the old-fashioned persons who figure that I don't need but one wife.
Over here. Mr.
Fonte,
your question's here, too.
Yes.
Who was his wife when she
came to Diana? She was... Boy, now, she won't like that. I believe she's about 3 years old. 1926. Now, don't ask her. Don't try to figure out how old she is. She may not want to know that. Yes. Yes, I was quite athletic. Well, you know, in those days, we didn't have as many sports, but I was quite athletic. My mother was born in Suwanee County, Florida. When? My mother was born September the 11th, 1881. And she died the 22nd of December... 1986. Okay. I'm 71. Now, I don't have no problem about age. You see, I have another 40 years or more to live.
That's right. You can't go wrong by that.
Yes. Houses? Good. Let me approach it from two sides. Originally, the houses were built of rather flimsy in those days because there were no codes, no standards as such, so that when in 1926, when the hurricanes, the storm hurricanes of 1926 and 28 came down here, And I guess people died by the hundreds or the scores. Much of that was due to the flimsy manner in which homes were built. Now, at least Delray Beach and Boca Raton have two of the most exacting codes for building homes. Very, very exacting. But in those days, you just put something up. And it didn't get cold as such. As a matter of fact, when we built our home in 1950, where I live now, we didn't have any fireplace. We didn't expect it to get cold. We just put a little heater in there. He's got put a little heater there. And the last 4 or 5 years, either I'm getting old and can't stand it, or it's getting cold. I don't know which, or both. Yeah.
You know the first school was?
Pardon me?
Do you know the first school was?
Yes. If you go to, you go right here, this is 8th Avenue. Your school's on 8th Avenue. You go up three blocks to 5th Avenue and proceed toward Atlantic Avenue past 1st Street. The first school established in Delray Beach was a black school in 1890. It was really a thatched, they had palmetto thatched site, a place. Where the kid, but you must remember now, the state of Florida did not require but 3 months of education. And I might make this point to you, that the public school system of the state of Florida was established, and that the first superintendent of education in the state of Florida was a black by the name of Jonathan Gibbs. It was settled at that time, but it was only 3 months was required. People who farmed and the like didn't feel that you needed a lot of education in those days. Yes. 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 Pardon me? Cost? No. I don't. You really got. I'll have to go to another place. In Suwanee County, when the state of Florida under Jonathan Gibbs ordered that they have education, the Board of Education went before the county commission, and they appropriated $900. For the entire school system. That was in Suwanee County. You asked me a question that I haven't researched it well in Suwanee. But you see, they paid the superintendent. The superintendent was paid $5 every time they had a meeting. They may not have maybe 4 or 5 meetings a year, but the entire budget in Suwanee County in 1868, when the school system started, was $900. Again, my mother taught. My mother was a teacher in Baker County, and she was paid $40 a month as a teacher. It was only 3 months. When I taught in Suwanee County, I was paid $50 a month. That was 8 months. When I came down in Palm Beach County to teach in 1939, I have the telegram that the superintendent, John I. Lennon, sent me, and my salary was $75 a month. Yes. Pardon me? It was called, Delray County Training School. And incidentally, it was all over the second black school. It was called number 4. Now, I don't know why they called it number 4. We haven't been able to ascertain why they called it number 4. I suppose that with some, I won't make this comment. Yes?
Why did you want to be a teacher?
Two reasons. First, I say my mother was a teacher. And secondly, I was just inspired as a little kid about what teachers did. Now, let me contrast that so that what alternative, what else would there to be? What opportunities were open? And then it was something that I enjoyed. I just get a, just like, you see how I'm bubbling over here talking with you? I like children, and I didn't pay much, but I just liked it.
How did you get from where you
were to Delray? Well, as I said, that I had first come down to Palm Beach County. I told you I was quite athletic. I came down to Palm Beach County in 1933 with a baseball team. And first time I'd seen a coconut and everything, and I came down. Let me tell you a little joke on the South, too. When I first came down to teach, coming down in Suwanee County, down in Palm Beach County, and see, we didn't get coconuts up in West Florida until during Christmas time. And I came down and coconuts were just abounding. So I said, well, I'm going to eat a coconut a day. You know, I didn't know any better. So I came up to West Palm Beach and was staying with a friend of mine. And I got my little pocket knife. And how many of you know how to husk a coconut? Okay, well, you was
one. Tell somebody tell us
how. Okay, let's see. Well, see, I didn't know any better. So I sat down there and got my pocket knife out to husk this coconut. And little boy must have been in about, he must have been 5 or 6 years old. And he just laughed at me, he said to me, you teacher? I said, yeah. You don't even know how to husk a coconut, don't know how to, and I didn't. That taught me one thing, that you can learn from anybody. And I guess that you can learn, see, I can learn from you, doesn't matter how old I get. So you can learn from anyone. Yes?
How long were you a teacher for?
You see that when I applied for these particular jobs, and here was a job offered me, $75 a month. Other places, $40, $50. So you see, I was getting a pretty good salary to come down here to Palm Beach County. The other side of it was that this was a pretty progressive, West Palm Beach was a very progressive town. I just was trying to come down here. I've had no regrets either. Yes? My father's name was Samuel Frank Pompey IV. He was the fourth one in my family to be named Samuel Frank. Just to make you laugh a little bit, I'll just tell you this about the family on the Pompey side. His grandfather was called Big Sam. Now, he was a slave. He'd be called Big Sam. His son was called Little Sam. Now, Little Sam was actually a much larger person than Big Sam. But Big Sam was called Big Sam because he was the oldest. And then my father was a pretty big man. My father was 5'11", weighed 200 pounds. Now, when his grandfather died, his father became Big Sam. And then I have a brother that's Samuel Frank, too. He's a lawyer in Durham, North Carolina. He's a Sam. But my father's name was Samuel Frank Pompey. He went to Tuskegee Institute. He studied with George Washington Carver. And with Booker T. Washington. Yeah. But who hasn't asked the question? I want.
How old is he?
He's dead. My father's dead. He died in 1920. He died when I was 4 years, 11 months, and 4 years, 11 months old when he died.
How old was he?
Good point, good question. Exactly how old he was, we have not been able to determine. Now, maybe that's another question I don't know whether I got time to touch on. That as far as we can ascertain, looking at the death records and everything, my mother says that when they married in 1908, she says that he was 33 years old when they married. Incidentally, my mother didn't marry until she was 25. She was an old maid, as it were, looking back when they married in 1975. But anyway, exactly how I've been trying to really find out when he, I know where he was born. I'm going to Greensboro, South Carolina, although he was born in Cuthbert, Georgia. But the family in the wagon train that left Greensboro, South Carolina, and that came to Florida and Georgia, I'm going up there next month to see if I can actually find out that. Yes, indeed. Yeah. As a matter of fact, he's the reason I'm here, as I came to this school. Yes, I know it very well. Incidentally, S.D. Spady, incidentally, I suppose if I had any hero, it would be Spady. I mean, I've just been inspired. I had the good fortune of meeting some good people. Jane Jackson, then to come and work here for Spady. Let me say one thing about Mr. Spady, and this may help. He told me when I first came here, he wanted me to start the athletic program. He said, Pompey, you can make this what you want. You have my support. And it just worked me crazy. I coached basketball and track. No pay. You just work. I mean, you just work. Well, see, I was a principal. When I first came down here, I was principal of a school in Washington Junior High School in Riviera Beach. He was a principal and I was a principal. We got hooked up then. We had organized a teachers association that brought a suit against the county for equalization of teachers' salary. And they began to take little shots at that. So then I left from being a principal and went back in the classroom and stayed there for, I guess, 20 years. And then they kicked me back upstairs as an administration.
Can I ask a question,
baby? Yes.
Do you have any children?
Yes. I have a daughter who has a daughter who's attending this school. Her name is, my daughter or her daughter?
Her daughter.
Her daughter's name is Anita.
I don't know.
Yes?
How old would your father be right now?
If he were living, as I say, I haven't been able to establish when he was born. We're trying to make him, we're trying to make him, my mother was 104. My mother, when she died, my mother claims, and I'll take her word in absence of any kind of other information, that he was about 9 years her senior. She was hard to get. She was 25 when she married, so she's hard to get. And that would put him, if he were alive today, that would put him about 111 or 12 if he were alive. Yes.
What grade is
Anita? Pardon me?
What grade is Anita?
I don't know what grade she's in. Kindergarten, then. Yeah. Doesn't matter. I'll take it.
What was your wife's name?
My wife's name is Patty Rule. I used to teach right here at this. I mean, at that time it was called Carver High School when I came here. But I taught here for, I guess, 17, 18 years maybe.
Jeremy,
how old are you?
I'm 71. 71. But you remember now. The time clock is really moving with me. You see, I've got at least 40 more years.
What's Anita's mother's
her mother's name, her name is Cheryl Zanita. Pardon me?
When was her school?
This particular school? This particular school, on this particular site, I mean, where it's located now, they came out here in 1937. It became a high school in 1939. At one time, there was only one black high school in Palm Beach County. That was in West Palm Beach. It was called at that time Industrial High School. Then they built a, this school was the second black school in Palm Beach County. High school, I mean. Yes?
Does Anita go to the school?
Yes, she does. No, Delray had no slaves. Never did have any slaves. See, Delray is a young town. In other words, it's only at the most, it's only 90 years old. And slaves in 1863, the Emancipation Proclamation was signed. And that eliminated slavery for all practical purposes. So there were no slaves.
Who's the first person who knew Delray?
Pardon me?
Who's the first person?
That's a very difficult question to ask. No, I don't think so. No, I don't know. Clothes? Good. In the earlier days, you ever heard of chambray? Well, I mean, the silks and those types of things were hardly worn in those days, but what they call denim, and if you've heard of that, those kinds of. See, a lot of the clothes, the colors and so forth that are today were not existing in those times. Yes?
What were the shoes made out of?
Pardon me?
What were the shoes made out of?
Shoes were leather. See, the, you know, that's one of the new changes that came about after World War II. Shoes were essentially made out of leather, and therefore people found it so that there were shoemakers. Now they make shoes out of... Well, now I don't know about plastic, but something, yeah, it's carom or something of that nature. That's quite different.
Did you guys wear those kind of clothes
then? No. No, we didn't. Yeah.
Were you a slave?
No. Yes. Yes. Now, on my mother's side, Uncle Charles, Grandpa Charles, we call him Grandpa, Grandpa Charles Wright was a slave. He claims, now he told me this, he claims that he was 23 years old when Sherman's troops marched through the state of Georgia. He claims that he served them mint julep. He was what is known as a house slave. Incidentally, he could read. I remember the little kid playing with him. He could read, and he was quite a fellow. Yeah. No, no. No, my mother and father. My mother was born in 1881. Slavery had already been out of the way at that time. Yes? Shoes and clothes were very, very didn't cost much in terms of in comparison with today. However, you could buy a pair of Tom McCann shoes. When I was a kid growing up, you could get a pair of Tom McCann shoes for $3.15. You could get a pair of all leather shoes for $2. And all leather, I mean with heels and everything, for $2 in those days. You could get a pair of Florsheim shoes, which was at that time a good shoe. It's still a good shoe. You get a pair of Florsheim shoes in those days for $6.50. A Nunbush shoe. Those shoes now will cost you $75, $80. So that I am what you call a Depression kid. I grew up during the Depression. There were times when there was no money, no actual physical money in evidence. My mother used to take us out to work. Now, she insisted that we go to school, but she might take us out with a contract. She had five children. My father dead at the time. And she would contract us. She'd go out and say, I will gather this corn. We used to call it breaking corn as a family. Take all of us out there. She was paid 2 bushels of corn. My sister was paid 1.5 bushels. I was paid 1 bushel. And my baby brother was paid 1/2 bushel. So you see, we got 5 bushels. There was no money. And there was no money involved. But that's the way we got paid. Well, we'd take that back to the house, and we lived in a 3-room house. And the barn, as it were, we just stole the corn over there. And we chickens and the like. I got to the place that all of us could cook. I didn't have one sister. So all of us boys learned to cook and everything. And I guess I'm one of the few blacks today who were just not enamored of chicken. We had chicken so much longer in the old days that I just... things were pretty rough in those days. Very wrong. But you could get things very cheap. Yeah. Yes, sir. Pardon me? Is my daughter married? Yes. Yes, she's married and has a kid there who attends the kindergarten school there. Yes, sir. Yes. There are 3 of us boys. I'm the baby boy. There are 3 children alive now. I'm the baby. And I'm 71. The oldest boy, Frank. Frank is 77. And the other boy is... Frank's 78. The other boy is 76. Or will be 76. Yes. Die. Yeah, my mother had 8 children. 8 children. 3 of them died rather early. I might say this, that those of us who survived, I mean, who were able to get past that first year, were very fortunate. I mean that, we didn't have a death in the family or any illness that I can recall until we were quite up in age. We couldn't afford a doctor anyway, I suppose. Yes. Yeah. I didn't get a car till we came down here, but I guess gasoline was around 22 or 3 cents a gallon. Henry Ford claimed that he was trying to make a car that would be that, you know, the average American could get. You could get a car for under $1,000 in those days. But a car was something that we just didn't have. I used to just dream about the car. I used to get on the side of the road and say, someday I'm going to get a car. But that was just a dream. How many of you have dreams? Do you really, do you imagine that what you're going to be years from? You don't, if I could leave any kind of little comment to you, have dreams. Just imagine that someday, whatever you want to be is going to be here. Because that may be the only thing that will sustain you. If I had accepted my condition as permanent, I just don't know what I would. I just had a dream. I dreamed the day would come when I would get an education, that I would have a home, and that I would be someday talking to some fine people like you. Yes. Well, I'll tell you, we did a lot of hitchhiking. Now that's something you don't see much of now. But as a youngster, I hitchhiked from my home county in Live Oak to New Jersey twice, over 1,200 miles. But in those days, people didn't mind picking you up. I wish I had time to tell you about some of the things we did on those journeys, but it wasn't uncommon. And going and making an application for my first job, I hitchhiked from Suwanee County to Ocala. And so that people were quite different than the way they are today. Yes, sir. Pardon me? Houses to get? Houses didn't, I don't know, but they didn't cost nearly as much as now. But at least among blacks. The idea of getting a roof, not only among blacks, but for most people, to get a roof over your head was just an essential and an important thing. My mother bought the lot that we grew up on in 1906 before she had finished, well, a little school there in Live Oak. And, but the idea of acquiring property, acquiring land, And most of the early people who came out here in Delray had their lives. Yes. Go ahead. Well, I can't quarrel with it. It was a 3-room house, and my mother and sister shared a room. The four of us boys stayed in the living and front room. I don't have any regrets. The house that we lived and grew up in didn't have any glass windows or doors. As a matter of fact, I was teaching to finish college before the house we lived in had a glass door. But that was not important. The important thing was getting an education. Then you could get a house later on.
I have a question if I can ask. Did you celebrate any, were there any holidays that you celebrated here in Delray? What kinds of holidays did you celebrate here?
Good. Yeah, holidays, there were three very important holidays. maybe two as far as the general public is concerned, but for among blacks, you had three holidays. You had the first of the year, that is January the 1st. That was called Emancipation Day. This was in recognition of the freedom of slaves. Now, when this proclamation was written in September and put into operation January the 1st, 1863, because of the communication difficulties and because of the course of the war, you didn't always, it didn't come at a uniform time. Now, the state of Florida and South Georgia, the emancipated blacks were not freed until the 20th of May. So the 20th of May is considered, in the black sector, and those who came down here, was called Freedom Day. I believe in Texas it may be, I think it's August the 15th. Different states have those days. Now we have a third day that we like to just started last year, which is Martin Luther King Day. But the 4th of July. Now what did we do on those, what did we do? Let's take January the 1st. Up in my home county, they had big meetings and people would come in and talk about slavery. There were a lot of the people who were talking who themselves had been slaves. And then on the 20th of May, which was the big day, they had picnics, ball games, and I used to look forward to it because they made barrels of lemonade, they barbecued goats, and oh, it was a big day. Oh, you don't like goat? Okay.
I think we have maybe room for about two more questions.
Okay, who wants it out?
Somebody who hasn't asked for a while.
I don't.
Did they have bikes?
I don't. Yes. I used to work at a drugstore. They had bikes in those days.
How many bikes do you own?
Pardon me?
How many bikes do you own?
The bike?
Yeah.
Never had one. Never had a. Yeah. Never had a bike. No.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, just two more.
Okay.
What kind of delivery do you live in,
Mike? I live right across the street from the school. I mean, not from the school, but I live within two blocks of here. I don't think I've had.
Did they have skateboards?
No. Skateboard is a new invention. I mean, we weren't that nimble. We would fall all over ourselves.
Did you make skates or anything like that? Did you make games, toys?
Yes. They had roller skates, but again, you didn't have a town. Wouldn't hardly have but two paved streets. So you didn't have those kind of things. You just you just living in such a fine world. We didn't. We just didn't have them.
Alex,
what kind of bikes did you have?
Bikes? I don't. I really don't know. I never owned a bike myself. I worked at a drugstore. I used to deliver, medicine and so forth to people. They had a bike, but I didn't. Pardon me? No, we didn't have scooters.
What kind of toys did you have?
Yeah, it's a good point. We had little trains, They had little trains and bells and so forth. I never forget my first toy that I recall was in 1921, and my mother got me a train, and I tore that train up the first day. I mean, I was just excited. And, yes?
Do you have any board games?
No. Horse? No, oh no, surfing. We didn't. Surfing is rather recent, and we were almost afraid of water. Did you know one thing? That when I grew up years ago, water was almost bodies of water. You were just advised not to go near them. Very few people could swim, in the case may be. They used to take you down there and teach you to swim. You almost had to. That's what they would do. They didn't have classes. We didn't have bathing suits. They just throw you in. Throw you in the water. And you had to, they wouldn't let you drown. But you learned to swim. I never forget the little pond, and they said, you were afraid of water, just throw you in there. Oh, yes, 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 indeed. Okay. Pardon me? Who am I? That's okay. Yes.
How much did a tree might cost?
Pardon me?
How much did a tree might cost?
Good point. The fare, if you were under six, there were no charges for children. But the train fares were very reasonable. You could go, even when I came down here, you could go to West Palm Beach on the train, I know, for 35 cents. My wife, we had first married, my wife was ill in the hospital, and I used to catch the train at night to go up to see her and then come back by bus, and it still didn't cost, a round trip didn't cost 60 to 75 cents in those days. But you see, the trains made their money off of their main, not passenger. Passenger was not the big thing. It's hauling freight in those days. I've just enjoyed it, and I could sit right with you. You know, I have no problem with it.
I think we're about out of time as it is. So,
okay.
Can we all thank Mr. Pompey?
Thank you.
I don't think I could have learned as much about one person and about the history of this area from a book ever. What do you think? Okie doke. Well, thanks very much, Mrs. Unger, for coming over. Appreciate it.
I'd like to add one thing for you. Mr. Pompey was asked why they named the park after him, and he kind of evaded the question a little bit. They named the park after him. Brought up City Hall because of his contributions to his community.
That's right.
And that's why the park was named after him.
So, okay.